You have your Bible. You surely don't come to Baptist Church without your Bible, do you? Amen. Psalm, if you will, Psalm 61. We'll be reading here today, Psalm 61. Good to see some of my friends. I don't know a lot of people here, but those I do know, I want to thank you for being here. Amen. Praise God. All right, are you ready? When you find your place, I want you to stand, if you can. And we're going to be reading Psalm 61. Psalm 61. We prayed earnestly about the meeting, and I feel this is the direction the Lord have us go. Psalm chapter number 61. Follow with us carefully. The Bible says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years are many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Please be seated. Let me have prayer with you. Then we'll share with you the word of the Lord. Father, we want to thank you so much for being here today. And I'm thankful, Father, for every time you've touched my heart today with both music and the word. Thank you for the good fellowship, Lord, we've had with many of God's children. And Lord, meeting many that we have never met before, we're praying now that you'd bless us tonight. Father, we feel in our heart the most important thing is a declaration of your word. So I'm going to ask you, Father, to minister to our heart as we preach the good word of God tonight. And Lord, may there be somebody tonight whose heart is reaching out for help. And may, Lord, this be the passage tonight that they'll receive the help they need. We'll honor you for it in Christ's name. Amen. My manner of preaching is to do the study from the book. So I hope you'll keep your Bible open. And we'll be studying from this passage on this evening. If you'll please look in verse number 2, if you will, please. Verse number 2. Notice what it said. The psalm writer said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I'm interested in the center of the verse where it said that when my heart is overwhelmed. Yes. And I want to preach today for a few moments on the overwhelmed heart. Surely there's not anybody here that's ever had an overwhelmed heart. Well, I want us to look at this a moment. Let me just give you a little breakdown of this psalm, if you will. In verse number 1 and 2, you've got David's cry. It's pretty obvious. He said, "Hear my cry, O God." And he's crying for two things. He's crying for strength. He said, "Hear my cry, O God." And the reason he's crying is because he feels the need of strength from the Lord. And he's also crying for security. Notice verse number 2. He said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And he's asking for some security here and for strength. Look at verse number 3 and 4, if you would, please. And notice now David's comfort. And every time you and I cry to God in our need, we are needing comfort of some sort. And so in verses 3 and 4, he expresses his comfort. He says, verse number 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me." Is that not a comfort? I mean, is that not a comfort of God's character? God's character is, you know, you've been a shelter for me. And every one of us, no doubt, if we live for the Lord any length of time, we know what it's like to have God shelter us and get comfort out of that. But notice verse number 4, he said, "I will trust in the covert of thy wings." The word covert, of course, means to be a covering. And so he's getting comfort out of God's character and out of God's covering here. But go to verse number 8, please, if you would. And notice how he closes the psalm. He closes it by giving a conclusion here. And no matter what's happened between verse number 1 and in verse number, and between verse 1 and 8, he makes this conclusion. And it is, "I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to growl, and I'm not going to complain. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to praise the Lord. And I believe that's important. You'll also notice in verse number 8 again, he said the latter part of it, he said that I may daily perform my vows. So his conclusion is, I'm going to praise, and then I'm going to perform. Now then, skip back to verse 2, please. Go to verse number 2. Let me give you a couple of definitions, and then we'll move on. You'll notice he said, when my heart is, say the word, overwhelmed. So what does it mean here? Well, number one, just make a note of what the heart is. The heart, of course, is not the muscle, but the heart is the center of you. What the heart is, it is who you are. It's not somebody else, but it's who you are. So has who you are ever been overwhelmed? Yes. So the word overwhelmed here, listen to me now. The word overwhelmed is used here. It means to be surrounded. It means to be like enveloped in darkness. It means, neighbor, to be, overpowered or submerged in something. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there and when your life, so for whatever reason, seems like it's enveloped in darkness? It's like submerged in the circumstances you're going through. It's like enveloped and it's shrouded. And it's almost like you can't find the way out. You'd like to, but there's just no way seeming out of it. So that's what David is saying. He's saying my heart is just absolutely overwhelmed and overshrouded and enveloped with darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give you a couple of things right quickly. I'll be done. Number one, let's talk for a moment about what is it like to be overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed, what's it really like? Oh, preacher, I know what that is. Yes, but can we not put some particular things on it? Help us understand what it means to be overwhelmed in heart. Look back at verse number one. Watch what he said. David said, my heart, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. Now let me ask you something. Is he not beseeching God to hear him? Yes, he is. Is there not an insinuation here that David feels alone? That David feels like God maybe is somewhere distant and he's not listening to him? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way in your circumstances? That God is far off and you feel alone with whatever you're going through? Well, that's what David is saying here. He is saying, I am overwhelmed, and here's how I feel. I feel lonely. I feel like I'm the only one going to, I know. We'll say, Brother Wills, you know, nobody goes through that same trial alone. I know. But when you're there, you feel like it. When you're there, you feel like you're the only one in it. You feel like nobody understands. You feel like nobody can really attach themselves to how you feel. So David says, really how I'm feeling is I'm feeling lonely. But now listen to me now. So in Psalm 43, David gives us another idea of how it feels to be overwhelmed. Here's what he said. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And he said, why art thou disquieted? So the two things in that verse that describe how David felt was, number one, he was cast down. And that means he feels like he's sinking. He feels like he's being depressed. He feels like he's just sinking out of sight. Oh, my soul, have you ever felt that way? A neighbor, you felt like all things are caving in. And you felt like you're just sinking plumb out of sight. And there's no help for it. Maybe like Peter, when Peter was going down the water. So notice he said, he's disquieted. Now that's an interesting word in Psalm 43:5. He said, my soul is disquieted. You know what that idea is? The idea of being disquieted means of making a loud sound. Have you ever been so heavy in your heart that you go around your house making sounds like, oh God. You ever done that? If you've never been there, you need to get there at least one time anyway in your life. Well, your heart is so overwhelmed that you know you can't put in words how you feel. You've surely been there. You can't open up and share what's in your heart. You just can't put it there. And it's almost like you groan. And I'm not trying to paint no pictures, but there have been times when I've laid on the floor. Honestly, I've laid on the floor, and I did not know how to put in words how I felt. And for hours, I would lay there, and I would say, just, oh, God, oh, God. But you know what? I'm glad God knows what oh, God means. I'm glad God knew the heart. I'm glad God looked down inside and knew, neighbor, what I was trying to express, neighbor, out of my heart. So notice something else. And now don't turn, but Psalm 55:5, Here's what David said. He said, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and a horror of has overwhelmed me. So here's what I'm seeing. David is feeling, number one, lonely. Number two, he's feeling depressed. Number three, he's feeling emotionally unstable. You say, I'm never emotionally unstable. Probably to everybody but your wife. Amen. Nevertheless, here's the point. Whenever you're in an overwhelmed situation, there is an emotional instability about your life. And that's what David is saying. He is saying, I am emotionally in an unstable situation now. And then there are times when he expresses weakness. Now then, I want to move on quickly. I want to talk, number one, number two, about what causes this overwhelmed feeling. What is it in our lives that causes us to sense this overwhelmness in us? Number one, it can be simply reaping what you've sown. Brother Wills, I don't believe that. Well, then you surely don't believe the Bible, because God's word makes it clear that you, no matter who you are, you're going to reap what you've sown. That sometimes our overwhelmed situation is nothing more than a reaping what we have already sown. Number two, it might be neighbor condemnation. You say, well, I'm saved. Yes, I know. But do you remember when you got saved? I don't know how it was with you, but I remember when I got under conviction and God saved me. Did you not feel overwhelmed when God was convicting you of your sin and bringing you to know Christ? When God made you sense your desperate need of God and you felt like, you know, life was over? Well, what about this one? Have since you been saved? Have you ever done anything you shouldn't have done? Have you ever said anything you shouldn't have said? Acted in a way you shouldn't have acted? Gone to a place you shouldn't have gone? And the neighbor, and when it was all said and done, you know, I'm amazed. Sometimes when we say and do those things that they all have to do, somebody said, Bridge Wells, don't you know the Holy Ghost will make you feel convicted immediately? I beg your pardon. David didn't feel convicted immediately when David sinned with Bathsheba. It was months after that he felt deep conviction. But can I ask you this? Have you ever felt conviction as a child of God for something you've done? Well, did you not feel overwhelmed? Yes. So it was maybe condemnation. Can the devil make me feel, can he overwhelm my, oh yes, neighbor Satan can certainly overwhelm my life. Did the Lord not say to Peter, he said, Simon Peter, Satan had desired you that he may what? Sift you as wheat, riddle you. Do you not feel riddled when you're going through these overwhelmed situations in life? Do you not feel like your life is being riddled apart? That's what the Lord said he's going to do to Satan. Do to Peter, well, it's going to riddle him up. Now, hang with me a second. But what about imagination? Have you ever imagined somebody that didn't like you? Have you ever imagined that? Oh, they didn't like my preaching. John, where's John? John, we liked your preaching last night. John asked me, he said, did I make sense? Yes, you made sense on last evening. Amen. So what happens is the mind will work on you. The imagination will work to make you feel like, neighbor, that you're bombed out. Amen. Make you feel like you've wrecked. Make you feel like that didn't go over good. So the imagination will create this overwhelmness. So will temptation. So will deception. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells, a moment? So many of us sitting here tonight, and we've had somebody deceive us. Somebody said, I'll be with you in. Somebody said, you can depend on me. I'll be there when the curtains fall. And yet they were not there when the curtains fell. Amen. And you know, neighbor, there was that deception. And have you been disappointed with anybody? Have you ever been disappointed with somebody you had confidence in? You loved them, you cared for them, and you were disappointed in their action, yet something they said, yet something they did. Yes, disappointment is a hard deal to overcome. Amen. And it will overwhelm you. So, neighbor, what about desertion? Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but what about, is there somebody here tonight? And your mate deserted you, left you, and let to fiend for yourself and carry on in life by yourself. Maybe you got a child, and that child's mate left them. And it hurts the parents about as bad as it hurts the children. Is that true? Yeah. So what about that? Does desertion create that overwhelmed feeling? Or maybe, what about Brother Bobby Leonard today? I don't know how many of y'all know Brother Bobby. Lord, Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby has been a great servant of God. I mean, for since I've known him. And yet now then, he's laying in a hospital bed with neighbor can't function and can't get along. Why? Heart attack. I wonder if Brother Bobby tonight, I wonder if Bobby is probably feeling a little overwhelmed that the disease and the affliction now has put a halt to a neighbor he's ministering and carrying on for God. Amen. And what about death? Oh, listen, there's a lot of us, neighbor, that when we're in the funeral setting of death, oh, we do pretty good. But when it's all over, when we go home and face the four walls of the house and we start realizing that dear one we love is no longer there and our heart begins to get overwhelmed because of a death of somebody in the family. Are we okay still? Now then, I want to give you this. Move on quickly. So what can I do? David in this psalm is giving us some encouragement and some counsel about what I can do when my heart is overwhelmed. Look at your Bible. Look at verse number 1. In verse number 1, here's what he said. He said, "Hear my cry, O God." Now we know from verse number 2, we know he's overwhelmed from verse 2. Is that right? All right, so now then, being over, by the way, he was overwhelmed before he ever started to pray. Amen. Amen. So notice what he does. In verse number 1, he says, "Hear me, O God." What can I draw here? If my heart is overwhelmed, here's a counsel that I'll give you and I'll take for myself. Be determined to keep praying. Be determined to keep praying. Don't stop praying. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? I don't know what kind of prayer life you have, but I'm telling you, when your heart gets overwhelmed, the last thing you want to do is stop your praying and stop your crying to God. Somewhere in your heart, get determined, I'm going to pray no matter what. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call on God no matter what. I'm going to cry to Him. Look at your Bible, verse number 2. Number 2, notice now that second counsel. He says now, from the end of the earth, will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than that. Are you listening to me? I want you to listen to me now. Who is saying this? Is this not King David that's on the throne? Is that right? Is he not the one that the Bible said whose heart, he's got a heart after God? Is that right? And yet, listen to what he's saying. He is saying, lead me. Whoa now. I thought David was to do the leading. I thought David was the king. I thought David was the one that's supposed to do the leading. But here the king is asking for somebody else to lead him. Right. Are y'all hearing me? Yeah. David is saying this. My heart is overwhelmed, but my advice to you is keep a leadable spirit about you. Amen. If you don't keep a leadable spirit about you, you can never get help if you don't keep a leadable spirit in you. Listen to me. Did you say, well, I'll never get overwhelmed? Oh, listen, you just don't know your flesh. Brother Lovelace, is it Lovelace? What was it, Lovelace? Preach on that flesh today. You don't know your flesh. If you think you'll never get overwhelmed, you don't understand what you're made up of. Amen. Then I want to tell you this. Here's what David said. He said, here's what I'm going to do. Though I can, by the way, there'll be times when you can't find the way. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much your heart's after God. There'll be times you cannot find the way. And you're going to need somebody, praise God, to take you by the hand and lead you where neither you cannot find. Amen to God. Twig. So he said, number 2, he said, keep a disposition that's leadable. Look at verse 3 now. Come on, stay with me now. Look at verse number 3. He said, for thou, well now, I'm not an English teacher, but look what he said. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Now, wait a minute now. Yeah, am I reading this right? Is David saying here, Lord, there have been times out yonder, back yonder, that you were a shelter to me? Is that what he's saying? Can I say this now? Lesson number 3 is, you ought to draw from the past deliverances and the past touching of God and the past moving of God that God had on your soul. You ought to draw from it. Amen. That's what David is overwhelmed. And he's saying, I'm looking back now. I remember back yonder when you did shelter me. I remember back yonder when you did lead me. I remember back yonder when you did do it. Said, Brother Wells, don't live in the past.
Listen, you live your life the way you want to, I'll live mine the way I want to. And there are times I've got to have neighbor those past times, look back at them and see what God is doing. Amen. And what God has done and where God has brought me from. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now watch your Bible. Look, please, verse number 4. So number 4. Notice now, he said, I want you to remember the deliverance of the past. Then verse number 4. He said, He said, I what? What's that second word? Help me now. Help me. I'm not trying to be rude. He said, I will. Wait a minute now. Well, if I say I will, all right, I will come down. I will come down from the platform. Yeah, now, wait a minute now. Is that a goal? Is that not a teaching of mine? If I say I will, is that not a teaching that I've got of coming down the steps and standing here? David said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set some goals. And my goal is, I will abide in thy tabernacle. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, when your heart is overwhelmed, the last place you want to quit is the church. The last place you want to stay from is the house of God. You want to make your mind up, I'm going to go no matter what. I'll be there no matter what. I'll stay in the house of God. No matter what, I'll be there. Amen. Notice something else. Notice that same phrase in verse number 4. He said, I will abide in thy tabernacle. Then he added two words. What are the two words? Help now. Forever. Now wait a minute now. Now those two words, forever, does that not give you the indication now that not only do I intend to go to the tabernacle, but I don't intend to quit. I've intended to persevere. I've intended to stay with it. No matter what, I will stay with it forever. If y'all made your mind up. When you get down and out, when you get low, when your heart is down and out, have you made your mind up? I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to cave in. I will stay with God and stay with his house. Okay? Now then, give me a couple more right quickly and I'll be done here in about 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. Notice verse number 6. Put you on verse number 6 now. He said, now notice the tenor of the verse. He said, thou wilt prolong the king's life. Now wait a minute. Is that not faith? Huh? Is that not faith? He said, Lord, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't even find the way. I've got to have somebody to lead me. But he said, I know in my heart you're going to prolong my days. If you ever get to the place where you don't think there's better days, you're a suck duck. Yes. Amen. And so David said, here's what it is. My heart is overwhelmed, but I'm going to keep my faith fresh. And then verse number 8, he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to purpose in my heart to vocally praise the Lord. Now then, are y'all still with me? Amen. Y'all sure you are? Amen. Now then, I want us to go to verse number 8 and verse number 2 again, rather. Verse number 2. Notice what it said now. I'm going to give you the comfort now for the overwhelmed heart. Verse number 2. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is, say the word, overwhelmed, he said, I want you to help me. When my heart's overwhelmed, I want you to help me. Is that not Christian responsibility to help one another? He said, I want you to help me. I want you to lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, you see this now. Now, we do know the rock is, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. We know the rock is. The rock is our refuge. Neighbor, it is our Lord. And I'll not go into that. But now, let me give you three things quickly the rock represents. Number one, the rock represents power. Right. That right? So take your fist and bang around a piece of concrete since you're more powerful than it. Take your fist, bang around on it. Let's see who's the most powerful. We know that a rock here is standing for power. So David is saying, lead me to the rock that's powerful. Do I not need power? Do I not need the power of God to help me in my times when my heart is overwhelmed? I can hardly exist. So he said, number one, neighbor, it speaks of power. Number two, it speaks of protection. Isn't that right? Did not the Bible talk about a rock being a refuge? Amen. He said, thou art my refuge.
Right.
So, is God my source of power?
Amen, sir.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen,
right.
If you're trying to gut it up, if you're trying to live this business of being a Christian through your gut and grind, you're going to bite the dust.
Yeah, right.
You're going to fall somewhere or another. You know why? Because God wants you to know how much you need Him. He wants you to know you've got to have Him. He wants you to know you must have Him if you're going to succeed as a child of God.
Amen.
So He wants you to know on Him that's able to do all things abundantly above all that we ask or think. I didn't quote that correctly, but you know the idea.
Amen.
So is He your shelter?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Is He your shelter?
Yes.
You have no idea the days God has sheltered you,
yes,
and you did not even know it.
Amen.
I hate to be such a confessor. You know, you're not supposed to do that except in other churches. But I would tell you, Brother Eddie, there have been times in my life where I knew that if God did not do something through me, I would not make it. I've been so low and so down at times and so carnal and so fleshly at times. I knew that if God did not help me, I would not make it. And yet without my eyes seeing it, without my eyes beholding it, this great God of glory somehow stepped in and intervened and sheltered and protected me in those dangerous hours of my life. I give you one more idea and I'm done. Look back verse 2. Oh, you got to see it. Oh, it's so sweet. Look at it. He said now, when my heart's overwhelmed, read it with me now. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What's your name?
Bobby.
Bobby? Come here, Bobby. Come over here, Bobby. I think you see better over here. So I'm gonna can I do this? Well, I will anyway. Amen. So Bobby is a young Christian, and his heart is absolutely overwhelmed. We don't know what, but there's something that's overwhelmed his life. I don't know what it is, but it has so overwhelmed him. I am about his height. Is that right? Am I pretty close? So we're pretty close, the same height. I can't help me much. I really can't help me much. He needs to move up a little bit.
Amen.
Step up, Bob. Oh, now I'm his trouble. I'm his heartache. I'm his burden. But he's a little higher than I am now. Move up, son.
That's right.
As he moves up on the rock, he's moving higher than where it is that's troubling him.
Right.
Whatever it is that's aching his heart, whatever it's about to overwhelm him, he's moving higher. Every time he gets higher on the rock, he gets far above, my friend, the difficulty and the problem and the heartache, whatever it is that's overwhelming his life. Now, let me ask you a question. Thank you, Bob. When I ask you this question, I'm done. What is it that's overwhelming you? What is it that's overwhelming you? Are you having trouble with victory? Are you having trouble with your flesh? Are you having trouble with temptation? Has there been a trial that's come in your life? Come now. Has there been a series of events that's taken place that's about broke your heart, that's about broke your spirit?
Amen. That's good for you.
You won't make it where you are.
That's right. Right.
You won't make it where you are. You got to move up higher. You got to come to the rock. You got to get a little higher. It's that the rock is higher than your sin. The rock is higher than your backsliding. The rock is higher than your temptation. The rock is higher than your burden. The rock is higher than whatever you're going through.
Right.
What you're going through? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to digress a second. Just a second. We have parents in here, and your children have broken your heart. Do we have parents, your children, have broken your heart? You raised them for the Lord, and they made a choice that they didn't want what you got. It sure is quiet. Dear doctor, I've spent nights weeping nearly all night long. I've been to the place where I wept so much that I absolutely couldn't stop weeping. I thought I'd use this cliche. I wept buckets of tears and blowed gallons of snot. And I know that sounds ugly, but I'm going to tell you, buddy, that's how I feel in my heart. I've had those times when my heart was so broken, I couldn't hardly live. I mean, I couldn't hardly live. And without going into details, when one of those children break your heart and abandon the principles that you've taught them for a way of life that's not good, if you tell me it didn't hurt you, I'll tell you, you need to do something about your spiritual life. It hurts. The only way I have been able to make it, the only way I've been able to make it, yes, sir, is I had to get the rock. Yeah. Right. I had to get up a level above what I was going through. Right. Yeah. I had to get up a level above my heartbreak. I had to get up a level above, neighbor, my disappointment. I had to get up a level above, neighbor, my heartache and my disappointment and my desertion and betrayal in life. I had to move up a level. If you don't, you can't make it. You say, I can make, oh no, the Bible said clearly, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Amen. You can't handle those issues in the flesh.
Right.
When you do, you'll cave in.
Yes.
You need him. You need him. What's broken your heart? Get to him. Say, I can't find him. That's what your pastor's for. I can't find him. That's what that's what your Sunday school teacher's for. That's one of those members that this church that is spiritual. That's what they're for. They're there to take you by the hand and lead you to the rock that's higher than what you're going through. Let him lead you. Let somebody lead you to get you above the heartache. Get you above the stress. You above a broken heart. Father, thank you for your precious eternal word. And for Lord, how you help us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to share your word. Trying to be an encouragement, Lord, trying to be a help. Dear Lord, please do a work today.